Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. What a Monday. I got LeBron and Russell Wilson before I went to bed last night. Live in L.A., this is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. A lot of wrongs this week. But last night was so very right. In America, LeBron James, a title, Russell Wilson, the greatest drive this year in the NFL. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm okay. We had a nice season.
Very nice.
You know, no one picked us to be there.
That's right.
Went to 6 games. Everyone said it was going to be 4 or 5.
That's right.
Come back next year.
Absolutely.
Maybe with Giannis. Who knows?
That would be nice.
It was a spectacular sports weekend, though.
Oh, God. It was so good. So let's start with this. In Miami, year 2 title. Went back to Cleveland, year 2 title. Came to Los Angeles. Year 2 title. That's what he does. Michael needed Scottie Pippen. LeBron just needs a ball. LeBron did not go to Golden State, already a stacked team that won a title without him. He went to 3 places and had to elevate each, physically and emotionally and structurally. Colin, the Lakers brand. The Lakers, I was here for the previous 5 years. They were a mess. Bad front office, arguing siblings, owning the team. They kept drafting guys like Lonzo and D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle and Brandon Ingram. Nice players, but guys, in a league where guys don't do anything. I went back to Cleveland. They had Kyrie, who was a diva who couldn't stay healthy. That was his brand pre-LeBron. Couldn't stay healthy at Duke, couldn't stay healthy in Cleveland, and didn't elevate teammates. Well, what about Miami? What about Miami? They hadn't won a playoff series in 4 years. And to this day, D-Wade was never a perfect fit for LeBron's game. They're just both great athletes. Neither is a pure shooter. One's not a point guard. This Laker roster, you keep forgetting. You take out LeBron James, this roster is the 2018 New Orleans Pelicans. I'm not joking. The Pelicans had Jrue Holiday. They're better. I don't know who the greatest player ever is. I know who the greatest foundational piece in the history of American sports is, and it's LeBron James. He is the greatest foundational piece in the history of American sports. 9 finals, 10 years, system doesn't matter, coach doesn't matter, franchise doesn't matter, teammates don't matter. He won when the second best player on the team was a point guard, Kyrie Irving. He won when the second best player on the team was a wing, Dwayne Wade. He just won when the second greatest player was a big, Anthony Davis. Michael Jordan needed Scottie Pippen. Michael Jordan needed Phil Jackson. LeBron needs the damn ball. He doesn't need a system. He doesn't need a coach. He doesn't need a Robin. He had a small Robin. He had a wing Robin. He had a big Robin. It doesn't matter. It does a great part of success to me. Like, nobody thinks, you know, the trust fund kid is as heroic as the kid that overcomes stuff. And this is not to say that Michael Jordan's road was easy. But Michael Jordan had a great set of parents. He had a great college situation. He landed in a cool city, Chicago, where once they started winning, everybody wanted to go there. Then he had a great Hall of Fame coach. And to this day, many say the greatest Robin of all time, Scottie Pippen. LeBron didn't have any of those. We all know it's well documented. Tough childhood. Goes to Cleveland. Dysfunction. Even when they won, they couldn't get players there. He got you on the phone. Yes, I've been here 7 years. We keep ending up winning playoff series. Chris Bosh. Nah, I'll stay in Canada. That's why he went to the Aqua Water in Miami. It's about greatness is about what you overcome. We all acknowledge that. You know it. I know it. We don't have as much respect for somebody that has an easier path. I mean, Kevin Durant's a great player, but LeBron never joined a Warriors that had already won a title. And when I laugh at this whole thing, oh, but look at Miami. Yeah, look at them. They hadn't won a playoff series in 4 years. But by year two, he structurally, physically, emotionally reboots everything. It's never easy. I mean, we crossed our fingers this week, and Anthony Davis is now hurt. I saw Anthony Davis hobble off the court, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. It's just never quite easy until this year when I kind of feel like LeBron, the basketball gods, gave him a little bit of a break. Just a tiny little bit of a break. Somebody knocked the Clippers out. Anthony Davis stayed as healthy as he's ever been. And the pandemic, let's be honest, it gave LeBron his 17th year legs a little bit of a break. But in the end, if it's about overcoming, I mean, all you have to ask yourself is look at LeBron also had to face the legacy of Michael Jordan. That thing just hovered over him for the last 10 to 12 years. The Michael Jordan thing just hovers over him. What hovered over Michael? A couple tough years with Orlando Woolridge? I mean, what hovered? Number one pick, Michael wasn't. Cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. You can argue who the best player is, but as a foundational piece, nobody has ever changed the league. City's irrelevant, coaches irrelevant, teammates irrelevant, systems irrelevant. Here's LeBron after.
Personally, thinking I have something to prove fuels me, and it fueled me over these last year and a half. Since my injury, it fueled me because no matter what I've done in my career up to this point, there's still a little rumblings of doubt or, you know, comparing me to, you know, the history of the game and has he done this, has he done that, you know, so having that in my head, having that in my mind, saying to myself, why not still have something to prove? I think it fuels me.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying perfecting a system and staying at one place of work isn't awesome. I'm not saying that. I'm never going to take away anything from Brady and New England. But let's say Russell Wilson someday leaves Seattle, goes to the Colts and does it again, and then goes to the Cowboys and does it again. Wouldn't you be more impressed? I've never seen an athlete in any sport, any time, any era where franchise, number two player, coach, and system is overwhelmingly irrelevant. MJ needed stuff. He needed a coach and he needed Pippen. LeBron just needs a ball. All right, really, really wildly emotional day in the NFL yesterday in Dallas. I mean, from a gutting, heartbreaking, choked you up watching the game injury to Dak. And then you have to reconcile that, like, because right after that, Andy Dalton comes in and has the greatest drive Andy Dalton's had in about 7 years, and Dallas wins a wildly dramatic game. I feel with the Cowboys when Dak is starting this year, I thought they feel like an 8-8 team. This morning with Dallas, I feel like they're a 7-9 and 8-8 team. Listen, the Dak situation is gutting. It's awful. It's heartbreaking. He'll be back, though. He'll make money. Yesterday, I thought one of the interesting moments as he was let off the field, he wasn't crying because of pain, which had to be incredibly, inarguably brutal. I felt he was crying because he felt he was letting down teammates, which, of course, he was not. Dak is a special dude. He is a special dude. He'll get paid eventually. He'll win games. But Dak and Dalton have one thing in common. They cannot overcome the structural realities of this franchise. The New York Giants had scored this year 16-13-9-9. Yesterday, they dropped 34. They looked like the Kansas City Chiefs. You have an owner who doesn't want to be challenged and a coach who doesn't want to be threatened. And I don't think Dak or Dalton, as talented as they are, they're good guys. And I think Andy Dalton's probably the first or second best backup in the league. New England, rumor this year, they were going to roll with him. I don't think they can overcome the realities structurally of Dallas. If Dallas was a friend, they'd be a lot of fun, but you couldn't trust them with money or take you to the airport. They're the tabloid at the supermarket. You can't help but open it. The headline's remarkable. Aliens in the White House. You grab it, you open it, and there's not a lot of substance or sourcing you can really trust. I feel awful for Dak, but he'll overcome. I'm happy for Andy Dalton. He is what he is. But I can't feel differently about either one in the Dallas situation. Dak was struggling to overcome the Cowboys, holding on to try to lead the Giants, and Andy Dalton holding on for dear life at the end to narrowly beat them. Dak will be back. Dak will get paid by somebody. Dak is a great kid. Dak's injury will not define him. I just worry that the Cowboys will define him. They have certain things in this organization I don't think Dak or Dalton can frankly overcome. Coming up next, I know everybody loves analytics, baseball, basketball, and football. But I hated what the Minnesota Vikings did last night against Russell Wilson. It drove me nuts. I would never do this against Russell Wilson. I thought it was a coaching mistake. And this is why when you play Mahomes and you play Russell Wilson, you have been warned what not to do. That is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech with a Q.com, RECTEQ.com. Smart grill technology built by grillers for grillers. You can't go wrong. Even heat. Do it from your phone. So I get analytics. I'm not anti-analytics. I prefer manalytics, which is analytics, but use the testosterone of great pro athletes. They're not stats. They're not numbers. They're men. Lean on their physicality. Lean on their emotion. I like analytics, which is doses of analytics, but alpha males in sports. And I'll give you an example. The NBA. Oh, three-point shooting. Who dominated last year's finals? Kawhi Leonard, mid-range specialist. Who dominated this year's finals? Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. None of them are three-point specialists. Jimmy Butler doesn't like to take them. Guys that are physical, they attack you, they go at you, they defend you, they get in your face. Analytically, where's James Harden when it matters? The bottom line is the NBA may be a three-point league, but to me it's a defend-the-basket league and a situational offense league. And with 5 minutes to go, I'll take a Kawhi, a Jimmy Butler, a LeBron James, and an Anthony Davis over a James Harden who can, you know, fire up threes. Analytics wanted the Minnesota Vikings to go for it last night. 4th and 2, 26-21, put it away. Analytics say you go for it. But if you don't get it, then Russell Wilson gets the ball at home. He's great in the rain, drives the field, and beats you. Right here, wet ball, wet field. A lot bad can happen. Analytics will tell you you go for it and you seal the game. But if you kick a field goal, instead of 26-21, it's 29-21. And Russell Wilson not only has to score a touchdown, but a two-point conversion. And at worst, it goes to overtime where I've totally outplayed the Seahawks. Because they did outplay the Seahawks. They had 40 minutes time of possession, 450 yards. They outplayed Seattle. Completely outplayed them. And analytics, and I like aggressive play calling, and I don't question play calls. I don't with coaching. I never do that. But you have a wet field, a wet ball, a running back can slip, he can lose the ball, and then you give it to Russell Wilson. And if I'm facing, analytics tell you to go for it. If I'm facing Mahomes or Russell Wilson, I am not going for it there. I am getting the points. I'm forcing Russell Wilson or Mahomes to go down, score a touchdown, then get a two-point conversion. Because this is Russell Wilson. So he runs for 17 yards, and you can just feel the air coming out of the Vikings defensive balloon. And then he goes up the left sideline. At this moment, you and I are both saying, oh, the game's over. What, you've never seen this before? He's the best closer in the sport. I get analytics, except when I'm facing Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes. Give me points. I want to lead by 8, even for Russell Wilson. Two-point conversions are under 50%. It really is the hardest play in the NFL. A congested red zone. It's hard for everybody. Russell tried one at the end of the game. They couldn't get it. Two-point conversions are brutal for everybody, especially late in the game. You're exhausted. You've emptied your playbook. I'm totally disagree. Mike Zimmer after defended it. And I always hear this. We didn't come here to tie. You came there to win. And analytically, leading by 8 would have at minimum gotten you to overtime in a game in which you controlled it. A game in which Russell Wilson, until the last drive, didn't even play well. And you get about 2 of those a year when Russell's really not playing very well. Here's Mike Zimmer.
We came here to win, and so I'm not going to second guess any of that stuff. So it's just, we didn't get it done. It was about a half a yard. If we got the half a yard, we win the game. So I was trying to win it. I told him in the headset, you know, we didn't come here for this. Let's go win it.
Wet field, wet ball, Russell Wilson, I'm getting the points. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat fell short of their goal of winning an NBA title this year. Congrats to the Los Angeles Lakers, by the way, an incredible season.
Yeah.
Could you hear some celebrations last night?
First of all, I heard 2 booms at about 9:15. And I don't live in a big party town. But I think there were major fireworks going off all over Los Angeles. Then I went online because it wasn't asleep yet. I went online, and downtown LA, like Figueroa, downtown was just crazy town.
Yeah, downtown LA was crazy. I could hear the fireworks, and people were.
Where you live?
I'm not in a party part of town either, but all of LA was freaking out last night, and rightfully so. But Jimmy Butler said he's more determined than ever to deliver on his promise of bringing a championship back to Miami.
I told them that I would win them one, and I didn't hold up my end of the bargain, so that means I got to do it next year. I told Pat, I told Coach Pat, I told Coach Bo, I'm here to win one. This is where I belong. This is what makes me smile. This is what makes me happy. I wish I could have done it for the city. I wish I could have done it for my teammates, for the organization. But I'm still glad that it happened.
Jimmy Butler, I think, cemented his NBA legacy with his performance in these finals.
I think we said this ad nauseum. I've never seen an NBA player who had a brand, and it was fair. It's like, boy, he struggles to get along. He moved out of here. He moved out of there. He moved out of Philadelphia. And I was like, talented dude, but I've seen this act in the NBA a million times. Great dude, doesn't fit. Total team leader. I thought yesterday, and you could tell late in the first quarter, I'm like, oh, Jimmy's done. Like, Jimmy's got nothing left.
Well, I mean, if he looked exhausted at the end of game 5. He could barely walk when he was done with the media. I forget who tweeted it out, but like there's a video of him. He can barely get off the stage. He played 33 minutes in game 1, 45 in 2 and 3, 43 and 4, 47 in game 5, and 45 last night.
Remember years ago when I used to defend LeBron and say, folks, you can't ask guys to play 44 a night in the playoffs. So people go, oh, I thought he's the chosen one. You saw Jimmy Butler, a young athlete, was shot last night. He was done. He didn't. And by the way, there's no flying now in this bubble. You cannot ask these guys to play 45 minutes. Hey, guard LeBron on one end, right. Drop 40 on the other.
Yeah, those are hard 45 minutes. It's not like he's out there with Bam and Goron every game. Like that was really, once Bam and Goron went out, it really felt like it was not going to be a competitive series. So I'm completely comfortable with them going 6 with the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. And Lakers were incredible all season. And a lot of people didn't pick them to be there.
I didn't.
Us included. I thought it would be the Clippers. So it really was, you know, this is L.A. Hollywood writes amazing stories.
Yeah,
and this was a really just Hollywood season for the Lakers.
In my life, I've never seen a championship team that did not have a third dependable player in my whole life.
I mean, to overcome the Kobe tragedy at the beginning of the season, the bubble, which was an unprecedented situation, everything that was going on with the social unrest in this country, and to be at the forefront of that and the face of that, with LeBron James being the face of the league, the players not playing in games and like having to come together for meetings, like that, what they've gone through in the NBA, and to have the success of that bubble is, I mean, there's nothing been like it in the history of sports. That's no knock on any of the other bubbles who have also been incredibly successful, but the NBA was the spotlight of all kinds of criticism and still is, and they managed to pull all of it off.
Not a single positive test. That is unbelievable. Not a single positive test in the NBA. I remember when the bubble started, we were all saying, and I thought we were realistic and I thought we were fair. We were like, these guys, these are 26-year-old men. there's going to be a lot of side stuff going on. Not a single positive test. Not one.
It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. And the NHL had an incredible bubble. MLS, WNBA, all did amazing work. Like, whatever they're doing, obviously I understand it's a controlled situation. You can't compare it to the rest of society.
Yeah.
But they figured out how to do it. And congrats, because it was absolutely incredible. So the Falcons lost 23-16 to the Panthers to start 0-5 this season. And the team finally decided to make some big changes. Atlanta has fired head coach Dan Quinn and GM Thomas Dimitroff.
And I wonder how long. I know Matt Ryan's good, but he made a throw yesterday in the end zone. And I'm watching this league change and becoming more dynamic. If you get a new coach, and I know it sounds crazy. I sound out of my mind. But you start looking around football right now, and I'm watching what's winning games. The new coach and GM may not be all in on Matt Ryan either. And I know it sounds nuts, but they are not a consistent winning franchise. And the best quarterbacks in this league, the Russell Wilsons and Rodgers, they win their division. They win. Atlanta's an inconsistent operation, and Matt Ryan has to own a lot of that.
And this league moves fast now.
However
impatient the NFL was before, it has exploded because of the availability of quarterbacks. Like, that used to be it. Like, all right, well, like, we're not going to be able to get a quarterback in free agency. That's done.
Listen,
that's entirely possible.
Matt Ryan made a throw in the end zone yesterday, and I sat there and I thought to myself, he's not Philip Rivers, but there are some of the same issues. Arm strength, the inability to move, never make special plays. It's like, I needs everything perfect to succeed. I think Matt's good, but Matt Stafford's good. I'm about over the inconsistency right about now.
Well, it just felt like they never recovered from the Super Bowl situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, you have to run these decisions by me.
I'm an idiot. Okay?
But unfortunately, they did move on from it. I don't like firing coaches midseason. I don't understand the point of it unless it's a toxic situation. I understand, like, sometimes you want to appease the fans, and it just feels like you just have to make a move just to do something. But, yeah. Like, where does this leave you? So now you have an interim coach for the rest of the season, so there's no more development that's going to happen. You're not going to hire someone else midseason. So what does this really do? I just don't see the value in it other than appeasing fans of firing a coach midseason unless it is a completely toxic situation. It just doesn't make sense to me. Finally, Alex Smith made his NFL return nearly 2 years after his devastating leg injury.
Nervous wreck.
He entered the game against the Rams with 2 minutes left in the second quarter.
He got hit a bunch.
Kyle Allen got hurt. Everyone got hit a bunch. They gave up 8 sacks in that game. Four to Aaron Donald.
I was a nervous wreck watching this game. And he kept getting
sacked 6 times.
By Aaron Donald, who, by the way, Aaron Donald is so much better than the second best player in the league at his position. I mean, like, Mahomes is great, but there are nights Russell Wilson's better. Aaron Donald is so much better than the second best interior defensive lineman in the last 10 years in the league. There's nothing like him in the entire league.
He's
literally taking 322-pound guards and throwing them.
It's crazy. Well, after the game, Alex Smith said it felt good to be back out there and take a few hits.
It was great. It was great to be out there. I've worked, you know, I think the feeling, the range of emotions, the good and the bad, is why I fought so hard to come back. I think sometimes you can take it for granted. Certainly being away from it for a couple of years, I've missed it. It was nice to obviously know that you're fine and going out there. And, it was nice to kind of get to knock the cobwebs off, so to speak.
Wasn't a Dwayne Haskins issue, I'll tell you that. That O-line is
bad. Seems like it's an O-line issue.
My God, it was awesome. And the Rams, beyond Aaron Donald, do not have a consistent pass rush. So don't. This is not the 70 Steelers. Like, the Rams outside of Darnold struggled to get to the quarterback except yesterday. They looked, I mean, it was, we can say all we want about Dwayne Haskins, but everybody's under duress there.
They gave up 8 sacks.
It used to be like a season high in the NFL.
It's
a weekly thing.
Of all the ways that Alex Smith could come back after that surgery, he comes back to a game where they give up 8 sacks and 6 of them are on him. It's wild. Anyway, Ron Rivera said Allen will be the starter going forward if he's healthy, so we will see Kyle Allen back out there. But congrats to Alex Smith. He's had a long, hard road back.
You could also see by the plays Washington was running, they didn't trust the O-line because everything was a dump-off. Like, you could tell their play calling was
get
the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
13 years in the NFL, got hit a few times as well. 4-time Pro Bowler, our friend Michael Vick, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. By the way, watching Alex Smith, I was a nervous wreck watching Alex Smith. When you were watching Alex, how are you feeling, Michael?
You know, Alex is a good friend of mine, so, you know, just my heart was with him. But as excited as I was to see him out in the field, I also wanted him to protect himself and just get through the game. You know, when you're coming back from an injury like that, it's all about just getting hit for the first time, getting a feel for the game again, getting that flow of the game, and just trying to, you know, gel with your teammates and figure out what the game is really all about again. Because, you know, he's 2 years removed from playing his last game. So, you know, things have changed a little bit. But I know he's a smart guy. He's paid attention to, you know, how the game is transpired. But at the same time, getting that first hit and knocking off the cobwebs is something I know that he was excited about.
So Russell Wilson is the best closer in this league. And I don't know what it is, Michael, but some guys get tight late in games. Some guys get loose late in games. What do you think it is about Russell that he didn't even play well last night? He struggled the whole game.
Yeah.
And then there's a minute and a half left, and he's absolutely brilliant. What is it about his makeup that makes it work?
Well, the fact that he was able to fight through the elements, a wet ball, you know, raining all night. That was one thing, and that was key. To be able to handle that was something special within itself. But, you know, Russell's going down as one of the greatest of all time, man. And he just got ice water in his veins. Nothing seems to faze him. He believes in himself. And you can almost look at his eyes and just his mannerisms throughout the game and know if he's going to be off or on that night. And 90% of the time he's on. Like, he's just one of the greatest, one of the best to ever do it, and I admire him so much. You know, if my son grew up and played quarterback, you know, I'm going to make sure that he watched a lot of Russell Wilson film.
Yeah. There's something about Russell, his conviction. He's not afraid to fail. They're just certain.
Right.
He's got just some – there's just some bedrock quality to him that he believes in himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's his – maybe it's his religious background. It gives him some certainty in his life. He's not – he's very – he calls it being neutral. He doesn't get high. He doesn't get low. And I love Brady, but Brady can yell and scream, and you just don't see it from Russell. It's a great innate quality he has. Now, the Dak Prescott situation, as somebody who's played in this game, and do you think it hurts Dak going forward as the Cowboy quarterback? Do you think they'll franchise him again? What do you think happens next year for Dak?
You know, I think Jerry Jones, he honors Dak and what Dak has stood for over the last 4 to 5 years. It's been nonstop for Dak ever since he came out of college and just being thrust into the lineup, you know, having to, you know, be the predecessor for Tony Romo was not an easy task. America's team and, you know, everything that comes along with that, he's handled it extremely well. And, you know, sometimes positive, sometimes negative press has been surrounding him. But Dak has been one of the guys who has rose to the occasion. I think we all love him for that and we respect him for that. And obviously his teammates does as well. So I think moving forward, Jerry Jones will pay it forward with the Dak. It might not be the most lucrative deal, but it'll be something respective. And you know, just, you know, for everything that Dak has stood for and how hard he's worked, man, I think he deserves another, you know, 3 or 4 years to show, you know, that he's the, you know, the Cowboys franchise quarterback for the next, you know, up and coming years.
You know, we said Andy Dalton is efficient. That I don't think he's Dak, but he's efficient. Could they still win a division with Andy Dalton?
Absolutely. I've always been a big fan of Andy Dalton. I thought he was one of the guys, even in Cincinnati when he didn't have the most talent, he made the most of what he had. And one of my former coaches, James Urban, worked with him throughout the course of his career early and just had a lot of praise and a lot of great things to say about him. And it showed up. It showed up on the field when he had weapons out there. He was able to, you know, win games. And I think he's an efficient quarterback, and certainly Jerry Jones is patting himself on the back for this move. And I'm glad that they made this move so that the Cowboys just don't tank. Because when you don't have a good backup quarterback, you know, it becomes dismal for the entire team. And guys just, you know, they start to give up and feel like the season is a wash. And that's not the case here. Still a lot to fight for. NFC East wide open, like we talk about. And I can't wait to see what Andy Dalton is going to do filling in for Dak.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, New York are in rebuilds. Philadelphia is not a lot of dynamic playmakers there. So I think Andy Dalton can make I don't think they'll be quite as mobile at quarterback, but this is a wide receiver-driven franchise right now anyway. So yesterday, it was Jimmy Garoppolo was coming off a little bit of an ankle injury, and Mike, he was awful. He threw into a cover two one time, and that's like a high school mistake. Is it the injury? I mean, give me your thoughts on what happened, because it was hard to watch.
Yeah, I watched the game, and it's certainly the injury. You can see Jimmy G trying to compensate and make certain throws. And his base is just not there. One thing about an ankle injury, you just lose a lot of power in your lower body, and you got to be able to, you know, step into throws and not be worried about, you know, if that ankle is going to get rolled up again, because it's something that is on your conscience consistently. You know, when I had my ankle injury and coming back, the only thing I didn't want to do was get it rolled up on again. So it was kind of like altering, you know, my throwing motion, and now I'm a little out of sync in terms of my base. And that those are things that has to happen on a throw like that. If you don't have your base up under you, the ball sail on you, and you just got to be nice and compact in the pocket and confident. And it certainly showed. And the Miami Dolphins defense, they knew that. They knew he wasn't 100%. He was probably 80 to 85%. And that's just not good enough at the quarterback position. Maybe if it was an upper body injury, a rib or shoulder injury, he could have made it through. But certainly not the lower body. It's just a totally different animal when you're dealing with that.
Michael, Vic joining us. For the record, I get analytics, but I do think all sports are best served when you listen to all the analytics, but there's still moments where I'm just going to lean on my alpha males. So I did not like, and you tell me, I did not like the Vikings going for it last night, because my takeaway was, I know who the other quarterback is, and Russell Wilson, I've seen him do this. They went for it on 4th and 1.5 and didn't get it. If they kick a field goal, they're up by 8. The worst they can do is overtime. That's the worst they can do. If you're a quarterback, you probably fight to go for it. But what would you make of the call by Minnesota?
I would have had a long talk with my coach before this call was made. And if we had a timeout, I probably would have called timeout to just talk it over, just to reassure him. You know, if we kick this field goal, then they got to get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion in a difficult situation, you know, with the elements and just how well we played throughout the game. I feel like, you know, the Vikings had some momentum. I would have kicked the field goal, and I would have made Russ drive the length of the field in those elements, have to score a touchdown and to get a 2-point and get a 2-point conversion, which is sometimes not ideal and easy to do. And those are the type of decisions that get coaches fired.
Yeah.
Because now you go from, you know, I think you're 1-4 now, when you could have easily been 2-3. It makes a big difference for the morale of the team. And when you're a coach, you got to think about the team overall. And I understand being aggressive, you know, and it's a time and a place for that. But, you know, on the road, you know, in Seattle, facing Russell Wilson, you just don't make that decision right then and there. You kick the field goal and show your defense that you believe in them.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because the Bears won in your division on Thursday night. Green Bay is on fire. So to your point, like, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, my division keeps winning. I am not a guy that doubts play calling at all, but I didn't like, plus wet field, wet ball, a running back can have it. You can be open, cut back and fall. Yeah. I
you see, they had to make some miraculous plays just to get down the field after they got the ball on the 4-yard line and went 96 yards. I mean, it's just amazing, man. Russ is amazing.
Good stuff, Michael. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to have to readjust how we think about LeBron and athletes in their prime. And the Cleveland Browns are 4-1. 4-1. Baker in my face. I'll address that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart, last 2 times longer, real world proven. By the way, top of the hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, and Amanda, it is great to have you in. I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, I was in like Las Vegas out of college. Wasn't that long ago, really. I may have some gray on my beard, but I remember it well. That eating pasta, just having a big bowl of pasta, That was health food. You just learn. I mean, you just, my mom just plied me with bran when I was a kid. I never stopped eating raisin bran. And then about like 15 years ago, there was a study that came out and it just said, yeah, it's just, it doesn't really have any effect. Just, you know, don't smoke cigarettes. You'll live long. Walk around the park a couple times a week. We just keep learning about nutrition and all this stuff. We're going to have to sort of reboot what we think about in their prime means. LeBron James just won an MVP at like 35 years old. He's still the best player in the NBA. Jimmy Butler looked tired. LeBron James did not. Rafael Nadal over the weekend won the French Open. He's 34 years old. That used to mean like you were done. Your knees gave out. You were done. Rafael Nadal's got three more French Opens. Federer's 39. He can still win a tournament. Djokovic is, you know, 33, 34 years old. The reality here is Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Brees is 41. Brady's 43. Aaron Rodgers, 36. Big Ben, 38. Right now, 17 games, they're 13-4. That we all think that are in Super Bowl teams. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, New Orleans. We just have to rethink. It's nutrition, it's training, and it's commitment. And the Lakers should be favored next year. If you really think about it, Avery Bradley comes back. I mean, LeBron, they blew through the West. They didn't even get the advantage of playing at home. They were the number one seed and had to play in a bubble. They didn't even get the advantage of playing at home in Los Angeles. So they want Avery Bradley comes back. They were 16-5 in the playoffs. They blew through four different teams. So, you know, there is, I start looking at it. LeBron is just so committed. LeBron, Tom Brady, and Russell Wilson are just so committed. And I kind of laugh sometimes. People are like, I don't want to be owned by the man. We're all kind of run by somebody. Either it's genetics, the man upstairs. We're all, LeBron, Brady, and Russell Wilson have just said, I'm going to change the way, I'm going to take trainers on vacations. And I know that for a lot of you surfer dudes, that just doesn't, you know, you can't reconcile that. I'm on vacation, man. But the reality is, you know, you wake up, you go for a jog, you work out for about an hour and a half, you still hang out with your family. These guys take trainers on the road with them. And what does it mean? It means you're more available for longer for your teammates and your franchise. I look at LeBron, and if he's not favored next year, I can't imagine why. Here's LeBron.
I put myself and my body and my mind in position to be available to my teammates. I've never missed a playoff game in my career. And the best thing you can do for your teammates is be available. And for me to be available to my teammates and put in the work, I just hope I make my guys proud. And that's all that matters to me. I make my guys proud, make the fan base proud, my family back home. I can't wait to get back home to them. Akron, Ohio, we did it again. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
Greatest investment you can make is in yourself. And Russell Wilson, Brady, and LeBron make huge investments in themselves. Cleveland Browns are 4-1. I know what you're saying. In your face, Colin, Baker Mayfield is dominating. Actually, this is not a surprise. We predicted they'd be a playoff team. Everything Cleveland is doing to this point is incredibly predictable. They lost to the only great team they faced, Baltimore. They got hosed 38-6. We predicted Baltimore would be much better. They beat four very average teams. We said they're going to be way too talented to not be a viable playoff team. They're led by their running game. We predicted they'd be led by their running game. They have a much better head coach than Freddie Kitchens. We said last year Freddie Kitchens wasn't even a college head coach. Their quarterback is still mistake-prone, and when you ask Baker Mayfield to throw 35, 40 times, like yesterday, he threw in the high 30s. He had a couple of really bad picks. They have too much talent to lose to really average teams. We've seen that. But they're not talented enough to overcome what I think is maybe the 15th, the 17th best quarterback in the NFL. This week, they face the Steelers. They're four-point underdogs. That's exactly what they should be. By the way, in this division, we predicted Cincinnati would be bad. They are. Baltimore would be the best team. I think they are. Cleveland would be a playoff team. I think they are. My only whiff in this division is Pittsburgh, which I said is a 500 team. Right now, they're playing very well. I still have my reservations about the Steelers 4-0. I have a right to criticize a 4-0 team. Pittsburgh is not quite there offensively. Nobody drafts better wide receivers than them. I'll say that. There's nobody quite like the Steelers drafting wide receivers. But nothing Cleveland is doing is surprising. They're better coached, more reliant in the run game, too talented to not beat teams like Cincinnati, Washington, and yesterday when Philip Rivers went, they're too good not to beat the Colts. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong next.